Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome to today's Daf Yomi. Nida Daf from Gimel Amar Aleph. We will begin from the first line. Amar Rish Lakish. Kone, if there's a rod, v'kumta yishal zav, in the fold of his zav, for instance, his armpit. V'hisad bayas hator. If a zav, a person who had Re'iyas, Ziva, and his Tamei, and he had this rod inside his fold, and he pushed and he moved a person who is Toher, the person nevertheless remains Toher. Kana bekum tishal Toher, however, in the reverse, if the Kana is in the kaimet, in the fold of a Toher person, v'hisad bayis hazav, and he went ahead and moved the zav, Tamei, then he becomes Tamei. Now, we know that a kaimet, a concealed area in a person, is considered beis hastorim, and beis hastorim is never metamei b'maga. If it comes into contact with a davar Tamei, or a davar Tamei is coming into contact with a davar Toher, if it happens via a concealed area, it does not transmit Tumah. But that is strictly regarding Tumas Maga. However, regarding Tumas Masa, carrying the davar Tamei, sometimes a Tumah is Matame when you carry it. In that case, there is no differentiation between a revealed area, an exposed area of the person, and a concealed area, because nevertheless, he carried the Tumah. So we understand why in the second case the person is becoming Tamei, because he moved the Zav, he carried the Zav, and that is called Tumas Hesed. Regardless of the fact that the rod was positioned in his Beis Hastorim, he nevertheless is being Tamei because of the Masa, because of the Hesed, because he moved or carried the Zav. However, what we still are wondering is why in the first case is a person remaining Tahor, if the Zav went ahead and used a rod in his kaimet to push, to move a davar, a person who is tar, why would the person remain tar? It's not Tumas Maga, it is Tumas Hesed that we're discussing here. So the Gemara continues, my time, what is the reason for the first halacha that the person who was moved by a zav remains tar? The Amakra, it says in the Pasuk, v'chala sheyiga by hazav, any person that was touched by a zav, yadav lo shatav amayim, his hands weren't washed in water, he will become Tamei. Rashi explains this is not referring to ordinary Tumas Maga, where a Zav comes into contact, direct contact with a Toher. That we learned from a different Pasuk. This Pasuk is coming to include Tumas Hesed, where the Zav moves or lifts another person, which is a Tumah which is exclusive to Zav. We never find a similar concept anywhere else, that a Dover Tamei, an impure thing, will go ahead and be metame something else by lifting the davar toher. It's exclusive to zav. Zehu hesetei shel zav. This is a halacha called heset of zav, where the zav went ahead and moved another object. Shele metzino loy tuma b'chalater kulo. We never find this halacha anywhere else. This is exclusive, special halacha by zav. Va'afki rachmana b'losha negia. Now, the Torah uses the words v'chol asher yiga by hazav, which is what sounds like there is a negia, there is a contact, and in reality we're speaking about hesed, just merely moving something. V'yadav le'shatav amayim, the pasuk concludes, he didn't wash his hands. Why do we mention the words yadav? Why is yadav so important here? The answer is that we're coming to teach, the Torah is coming to teach us something. We have to comply with the concept of yadav. Yadav is something external, is something revealed. The only way a tumah gets transmitted from a zav to a tahar is via an external area in the guf, something revealed like yadav. So therefore, here the Torah is teaching us that the tumah coming from a zav, although it is not tumas maga, it is rather tumas hesed, that he is moving something, which is similar to tumas masa, as if he's lifting it. So that's not a direct contact tumah. However, the concept of yadav, that we require it be transmitted via an external part of the guf, a revealed part of the guf, like yadayim, will apply even in the halacha of hesed. Va'afki rachmana b'loshan negia. Now, why then did the Torah coin the term yigaboy when we're speaking about hesed? Why is it connected to Negia when we're not even speaking about Negia? The answer is there is a connection. L'meimer to teach us the Hesed or Negia Kiyada. The Torah is actually teaching us an additional halacha. Hesed Hazav will only happen through a revealed area, not a Beis Hastorim. As well, anywhere else, in the whole Torah when there is Tumas Maga, when we're discussing Tumah that comes via contact, it is also strictly if it happened with a revealed external part of the guf and not a Beis Hastar. Again, to teach us, Lememra, to teach us the Hesed, that just like the Tumas Hesed coming from a Zav needs to be via a revealed area, an external limb, like Yadayim, so to Unagiyah, same thing will apply whenever we have Tumas Maga anywhere else in the Torah, Ki Yadav, they are both compared to Yadayim. Ma Hasam Me'avroi, just like a hand is external, Avhacha Me'avroi, here too, it needs to be external. So in conclusion, there is a halacha called Beis Hastarim, a part of the person that is concealed. There is no Tumas Maga applied in that event, because there is no revealed connection. Apparently the usual way of handling something is by a revealed part of the guf, a hand, a foot, a part that's external. However, something that's inside the guf in a concealed area cannot handle properly. It is not meant to come into contact with external objects. The Torah is mamayit, excludes that from Tumas Maga. However, regarding Tumas Masa, if a person will carry a davar tamei within a concealed area, of course, Tumas Masa will apply. He will receive Tuma from that davar tamei. There is one exception to that, which is Tumas Zav. When a Zav moves or carries a davar tahor, and he is doing it through a Beis Hastarim, his own Beis Hastarim. For instance, the case of the rod, which is positioned inside his Beis Hastarim, and he uses that to be mased to move a davar tahor. The Torah is memayit that from Tuma, and the person remains tar. Okay, let's see the next shtickle Gemara. The Gemara is referring to the halacha mentioned in the Mishnah where there is a difference between the ri'iyah of an isha, where the dam is not required to actually leave her guf in order for her to become tamei. It is different than the ri'iyah of an ish, where the tumah must actually exit the guf in order for him to become tamei. How do we know that? Avala zavel balkeri einin matamin. The ending of the statement, Ashatei say Tumasan Lachutz, until the Tumah actually leaves the guf. How do we know that? Zav, Tichsiv Kiyya Zav Mipsare, until the Zav is of Zav Mibisare. And we darshan Ashatei say Zoivai Mipsare, until the Ziva actually leaves his guf, he will not be Tame. Balkeri, how do we know the same halacha applies to a Balkeri? Tichsiv Vish Kisei Tei Mimenu Shechva Zera, until the Zera actually leaves the person, only then does he become tummy. This is referring to the case described in the Mishnah, where a person had actually felt a sensation, a trembling throughout his guf, and apparently there was zera dislodged from the source. He may nevertheless still continue eating truma if he does something to prevent the zera from leaving his guf. Until then, he is still considered tar and may complete the achilas truma. What does he do? He grasps the aver, and thereby prevents Zera from leaving. Zokta Gemara Eiches, how is he allowed to grasp the Aver? Why are we not concerned with this act creating some sort of sensation which might arouse him to emit more Zera, and that would be considered Zera Levatala, of course. Vatanya, haven't we learned in the Brayser, Blezo Eimer, Kalo Eiches Va'ama, a person who grasps his Aver, Umashten, he passes water, Ki'ilu, it is considered as if Mevi Mabul La'ilam. We know that the people at the Dura Amabu, this was their chet, that they were being moitzi, their zera levatala, they were emitting their seed for waste. And when a person goes ahead and comes into contact, direct contact with his aver, this may cause a sensation which may lead to zera levatala. So how is he allowed to go grasp his amar abayi? We're speaking about the matlas ova, he's doing it with a thick cloth which doesn't generate any sensation, and there's no chash of zera levatala. Rava Amar, afilo tam, even if you'll say the matlas raka, we're speaking about a thin cloth, we are still not concerned. Kivan the akar akar, because we're speaking about a case where a person had already experienced the dislodging of zera from the source. He had trembled throughout his body, so there was already an akira, there was already a dislodging of the zera, and therefore there was no chashash that the handling of the ama will bring about an additional haitzas zera. In fact, the Gemara, is that so? V'abaye chayesh dilma asla sufei. We're afraid that perhaps this will cause an additional zera to be generated and leave the guf, and therefore there still is a chashash, a concern for Haitzara Zara. In fact, the Gemara of Rava lo sufi lechayish, Rava doesn't, is not concerned that this will cause more Zara to be emitted. V'atani v'vlunt in a brisa lemaze doima. To what is this compared? Meaning, handling the Eivar Hazacha, what is it compared to? L'naysein etzba b'ayin. To a person who inserts his finger into his eye, shekol zman she'etzba ba'ayin, as long as the etzba, as the finger remains in his eye, midamas, it will cause tearing, v'chayzeres midamas, and will bring about more tearing. Meaning it's not just a one-time event, it is a constant process that keeps on going. And therefore here too, when one would handle his aver, even if it's already after an akira zera, there was already a trembling, a sensation of dislodging of zera that took place, nevertheless, this can bring about an additional Haitzara Zara. So why are we not concerned with that? And why is he allowed to be Eiches, his Amo, with a matlas, with a thin cloth, according to Rava? And for the Gemara, the Rava holds kol echamumi, v'hadar echamumi b'shaitei, to get aroused and re-aroused at the same moment, when the initial arousal was a very powerful one, it was a strong Akira. Yeah, if it's just a minor arousal, yes, it can keep on going and keep on adding. But in this case of the Mishnah, we're discussing the person who had a trembling feeling throughout his guf. So apparently there was a very powerful his Eiris, very powerful Akira, and that only happens once and not quickly so soon after. Again, v'rava kol achamumi, to arouse v'hadar achamumi, to get another chimum b'shaiti at the same point in time. Lo yishchiach is not common. We are not cheshish. We're not concerned with that. So let's make a quick summary. We had halacha in the Mishnah where a person felt a sensation, a very strong, powerful sensation which reverberated through his whole guf. He felt the zera being dislodged, and he's in the middle of eating truma. He's allowed to prevent it from emitting, from exiting his guf by grasping his eiver hazachar. The Gemara questioned, how is that possible? Doesn't it bring about a michshol and avera of Haitzara Zera? We had two solutions. Abaye's teretz, that he's using a thick cloth. Rava's proposal that even with a thin cloth, there's no chashash, provided that there was a very powerful akira, and therefore that only happens one time and will not happen so quickly soon after. And therefore, we are not chayshish in this case for Haitzara Zera Latali, even if he's handling his aver with a matlis raka, with a thin cloth. Zogt Gemara weiter, Omar Shmuel, kol shechva zera shein kol gufei margish bo eino betamo. Continuing on the same topic, says Shmuel like this: any time there is zera which is not powerful enough, it doesn't have the ability to germinate to be mazria, that is not considered zera in the context of being metame. We know that a balkari, one who sees zera, or in fact anybody who comes into contact with zera, there is tumah there, but that is strictly zera which is capable of being mazria, of capable of being moilid. So we're equating the tumah of the zera with the power of being mazria. So Shmuel maintains that a zera which was emitted without a complete comprehensive sensation of the guf does not have the power to germinate and to be moilid, and therefore does not have a din of tumah. My taima, shechva zera merachmana. The Torah uses the concept, the word of zer shechva zera v'ru'uya lazria, needs to be roy, fit to be mazria. Meis, maybe we've learned in a brisa, he had impure thoughts at night. V'amad v'umatzah b'sarei cham, he woke up and he found his aver cham, it was heated up, and there was a chashash, perhaps, that there was a keri. Tummy, he's tummy. So we see from here, although there was no hargashas kol haguf, he didn't feel any major sensation, otherwise he would have awoken. And nevertheless, the Braisa says that he is tummy. How is that possible, according to Shmuel? Tirgum Rav Huna interpreted the Braisa, b'meshamish mitasach b'chaloyim, he had relations, he had tashmish in his dream, so there was already haitzar zera, and evidently there was also hargashas kalagof. We presume that if there was haitzar zera, then certainly there was a sensation of dislodging of the zera as well, and therefore the zera is considered roi lahazria, it is full-fledged zera, and therefore metame. Again, tirgum Rav Huna b'meshamish mitasa b'chalayim, di efshar, it is impossible, l'shamish b'loi hargosha, to do that without having a proper sensation. So the first lashon of Shmuel maintains that in order for zera to be metame, it needs to be roi lahazria, which means it needs to be as a result of a complete, comprehensive, full guf sensation. There's a second version in the name of Shmuel. Certainly, in order for Zera to be Matame, it needs to be Roi Lahazria. But what is considered Roi Lahazria? What is required? So there are two phases in emitting Zera. There is the initial sensation of dislodging of the Zera from its source. That is the Akiras Haguf that Shmuel mentioned earlier. In addition, there is the actual emission of the Zera, which comes in a fashion of a shooting arrow. And that is the second phase of the completion of the Zera, and the Yoyer Kechetz actually completes the power, it inserts a power of Bim Azrei into the Zera, and according to the second Lashon of Shmuel, that too is required to be Matame, because only then will it be Roi LaHazrei. You need phase A, which is the Akiras HaGuf mentioned in the first version of Shmuel, and in addition you need the second phase as well, which is the Halacha of Yoyer Kechetz. It needs to shoot as an arrow. My Ikabein Hai Lishna Lahaish Lishna, what is the difference between both versions of Shmuel? Ikabinayu, there is a difference. Nekar Bahagasha, if it was dislodged with a sensation, the Yatza Shalai Bahagasha, but it left the goof without a sensation. He didn't experience the Yoyer Kechetz. So therefore, according to the second Lashon of Shmuel, that does not constitute a proper Zera and will not be Matami. However, according to the first Lashon of Shmuel, the Akiras Haguf, the initial dislodging of the guf, of the zera from the guf with a hargasha, with a sensation, is sufficient to deem it roi lahazria and will be metame. Zachting marvaita milsa de pshita lili Shmuel. This halacha, which is pashut, which is obvious for Shmuel without any doubt, mi boi lili rava. Rava had a shaila regarding that specific halacha. The boi rava. Rava asked the question. Nekro bahargasha. Suppose zera was dislodged with a sensation. However, when it left the guf, it was devoid of a cessation. It did not have the condition of Yoyre Kechetz. Ma, what is the halacha? Is this considered Roi Lazria and will be Matama or not? Toshma Baal Keri. Let's come in here. Baal Keri Shetaval. It says in the Mishnah that a Baal Keri who had an emission of Zera and he was Tamei, then he went to the mikveh v'loy hetel mayim. He didn't pass water beforehand. After the Tvila, he will pass water and he will become Tamei again. Why? Because we're concerned that perhaps some Zera had remained inside the guf, and that Zera, by coming out now after Tvila, will be Matame the person all over again. Balkeri Shatava Vleitel Mayim, he went to the mikveh without passing water. Kshiyatel Mayim, or he'll be Matel Mayim, afterwards Tamei, he'll become Tamei. So we see from here, this Zera that's coming out now is without Yerik Echetz. There's no sensation of Yoyer Kechetz going on now. But simply because it had originated with the Hargoshas Akira, with the initial dislodging of the guf, that happened with a proper Hargosha, that is sufficient to consider it Roi Lazria and Bimatame. So here we have a proof, a raya to the first Lashon of Shmuel, that Akira's Hargosha is enough. And for the Gemara, Shani Yasin, there is different. The Ruba Bahargosha Nafak. Since most of the Zera exited the guf with a proper hagasha of Yoyer Kechetz, it was a powerful emission of Zera. So although this little bit, a miut, this mashu of Zera which remained in the guf, did not leave with a hagasha, but the hagasha, the sensation of Yoyer Kechetz, which was applied to the rest of the Zera, encompasses all the Zera found at that moment and deems it Roi LaHazria and therefore will be Metame. So that is an exception to the rule. Although there was no actual Yoyer Kechetz taking place on this specific Zera, nevertheless, it is still considered Roi Lazria and will be Metame. So in conclusion, we have two Lishonos of Shmuel, whether the Zera, the Tumah Zera, is dependent on the Hargoshas Akira, the dislodging, or do you need, in addition to that, the second Hargosha of Yoyer Kechetz? According to the first Lashon of Shmuel, the first phase is sufficient. According to the second version of Shmuel, we need both phases. Rabbi had a question regarding that specific halacha, this exact case, and we attempted to bring a raya from the Mishnah, and the Gemara answered that is a special case where there was a Yoyer Kechetz on most of the Zera, and therefore it is not necessary for the miut to undergo that phase as well. However, you have no raya from here whether the first Lashon of Shmuel correct, or the second Lashon of Shmuel is correct. Perhaps you need both phases together in order to be Metame the Zera. Lishna Achrina, there's yet a third Lashon to Shmuel. Lishnachuna Amar La Omar Shmuel Koshech Vazera She'ena Yorke Chetz Eina Mazras. Any zera that it does not shoot as an arrow, doesn't have the experience of Yorke Chetz, will not be germinating, will not have a koyach of be Mazria. So we make a diyuk from here. Azruyihu Deloy Mizra. It implies that certainly to be Mazria, it will not have the power to do that. Hatmuyeh Metamya. However, regarding Kabbalah's Tumah, it's unrelated to being able to be Roy Lazria. Even if it doesn't have the ability to be Mazria, it is still Metame. There is no connection between the two things. So this is totally different than the first two versions of Shmuel who equated Tumah with Roy Lazria. Shmuel in the third version holds, even if there was no sensation present whatsoever, there wasn't an Akiras Haguf with Haragasha, nor there wasn't there a Yerik Echetz. Nevertheless, the Zera will be Matamer, even though it is not Roy Lazria. And we learn it from a Pasuk, Shenema ki yeh b'chayish asher lo yeh torf. There will be a person who will not be torf. Mikrei, it is through a happening. Afilu keri b'evam. The extra word mikra teaches us, even if it was just an occurrence, it wasn't accompanied with any hargasha whatsoever, nevertheless, it can be matame the person. So in conclusion, let's make a quick summary. What type of zera is matame? We have three lashonis of Shmuel. Either you need a hargasha's akira, a sensation during the uprooting of the zera, and that is sufficient. Or you need phase two as well, which is leaving the guf through a yerik echetz. Because both lashonis of Shmuel, these two first lashonis hold that there is an comparison between, there is a connection between the being Roy Lazria and being Matame. The question is just what is required in order for it to be Roy Lazria. And then we have the final Lashon of Shmuel who maintains that there is no connection whatsoever between Zera being Matame and Zera being Roy Lazria. Even if it is not Roy, it is not fit to germinate at all. There was never any Hargasha that took place at all, nor in the beginning nor at the end. It still will be Me'tamit. We have three questions, three different Iboyas. All three will end up with Teku, unconcluded, and it is related to the previous Gemara. Boy Rava, Oivet Kechavim Shehirer, a guy who had impure thoughts, V'yorad, V'taval, so he had a dislodging of Zera. Then he decided to become a Yid, and he went and was Tovel, but the Zera is still present in his guf and will come out eventually. The question is like this: a guy does not have Tumas carry. So when the Zera was actually uprooted, he had no potential of Tumah. He was not in the parsha of being a Tomei of about Tumas Bal Keri. But then afterwards, he emitted the Zera when he was already a Yid. So the question is, what are we going to focus on? Are we going to focus on the Shas Akira when it was a Slodge and he was a Goy and he's Tar? Or do we look at the Shas Yitziah when the Zera actually left the Guf and he's a Yid? Mahu, what do you say? Imtim Sulaima, if you will say earlier, meaning even if you follow the Shita of the first Lashon of Shmuel, that we follow the Akira, Imtim Sulaima Basa Akira as Linan, we depend on the Akira, Hani Milet as only the Chumrah, as only when we're looking at a stringency. When we're applying a stringency such as in the first Lashon of Shmuel, since it was a proper Akira, regardless if there was a Yitziah or not with Haragasha, we look at the Akira strictly and we're Matami. So that is a stringency. However, in this case, by focusing on the Akira, we're actually applying a leniency. Because at the time of Akira, he was a guy. Do we do that or do we not do that? Avalacha de la Kula, here by looking at, focusing and depending on the Akira, it will come out as a Kula Layaminan. Perhaps we don't say that. Odilma, perhaps Leishna, it makes no difference. And we always follow the Shas Akira. In this case, he will be Tar Teku. It is unconcluded. Vayrava, a similar shayla. Zava, shenekru meimiragleo. A Zava who is Matame Beziva and her meimiraglaim are also Matame. Suppose there was a beginning of a process of passing water. There was an Akira of the meimiraglaim. The same thing. Viyara de Vatovla and she went to Vastavel and then afterwards passed the water. Mau. Do we look at the Sha'as Akira when it was Nek and she was still a Zava? Or do we look at the Sha'as Yitziah when she was already Tar? In Tim Sulaiman, even if you will say, Basar Akira Aslinan, you always follow the Sha'as Akira, Hani Mila is only Shikva Zera. That is strictly halach applied to Shikva Zera. Why is that different? Because Zera has the nature of leaving the guf without being able to stop it. It just leaps. And therefore, since it already got dislodged, it's sort of it's on its way out. It already began its departure. and therefore we look at the Akira and it's considered as if it already is starting the process of leaving the guf. However, by Meimir Aglaim, we perhaps won't apply this concept. That was only strictly said by Shichva Zera that it cannot be restrained. Aval Meimir Aglaim, however, in the case of Meimir Aglaim, the Motzi Nokatla, it's easy to restrain. Loi, therefore, in that case, we will not follow the Shas Akira. You need actual exiting of the Meimir Aglaim to be Metame. In this case, since the Yitzia of the Meimir Aglaim happened, took place when she was already Tahar, we look at the present, and she is not a Tame. Idilma, perhaps Loishna, there's no difference between the two. And in both cases, we look at the Shas Akira. In this case as well, we will follow the time of dislodging of the Meimir Aglaim, which was when she was a Zava, and she will become Tame. Teku. But you rub another Shaila. She was a Zava, a Goy. And Rashi explains that Chachamim apply the Tumah Ziva to a Goyisha woman who is a Goyisha woman, that she has a din of a Zava. In that case, that her Meimir Aglaim were dislodged. V'yard of a Tavla, and she went and was Tavil Mahu. What will be the din in that case? Intim Tzalema Basar Akira Azlina. And if we follow the first version of Shmuel, that we look at the Akira strictly, in this case as well, we will apply the din of Akira, even though it's Meimir Aglaim, which can easily be restrained. Meaning, let's say, suppose we follow the stringency of the previously mentioned Shaila, meaning we conclude that even by Meimir Aglaim, we will apply the halacha of Basar Akira. So here as well, we should do the same. Imtim Tzalema Basar Akira Azlina Afagav Demati Nachatlu. Even though you can restrain it, we still focus on the Shas Akira, and we consider it as if it already began its departure. Hanemili Yisraelis, the Tmei Dairaisa. Perhaps that's only by a Yisraelis. Who is Tamei Midairaisa? Her Tuma Ziva is a Dairaisa de Ketuma. Aval Evelis Kechavim Zava, the Tmei de Rabbanan. Over there it's merely a Tuma de Rabbanan. Perhaps we won't apply this stringency, and we will not follow the Shas Akira, but rather we need to wait until the Meimir Aglaim actually leaves the Guf, and that happened, of course, when she was a Yid. And therefore, she won't become Tamei. Avelas Yechavim Zava Tamei de Rabbana Loi. I Dilma, perhaps Loishna, there's no difference between the cases. Teku. So, in summary, we have three separate Shailas of Rava of Basar Akira Azlinan. Meaning, according to the first version of Shmuel, that we follow the time of dislodging. When is that said? Do we apply it to a guy who had an Akira as Zera and then became a Yid? Do we look at the Shas Akira and we metire him? Or do we look at the Shas Yitzia and now he's a Yid and he becomes Tamei? Or perhaps, in this case, since the Shas Akira generates a Kula, a leniency, we will not apply that concept here. The second Shaila was a Yisraelis Zava who had an Akira of Meimir Aglaim and then she was Tevel. Do we look at the Shas Akira and she is Tamei, since the Meimir Aglaim was dislodged when she was a Zava? Or perhaps you don't apply this concept to passing water, since it can be restrained, and therefore the Akira is not considered as if it already began to depart the Guf, different than by Zera. And the third Shiloh, the final Shiloh, was by a Goita, who has a din of a Zava. What's going to happen in that case when there was an Akira of Meimir Aglaim? Do we apply this Halacha to a Goy as well, since her Tumah is only merely midrabanan? Or do we say there as well, since there was an Akira when she was a Goy, so of course the Meimir Aglaim is Metame and will carry it to the Tumah derabanan? Teku. We leave it unresolved. Zochtig Maravaito, Metamin Bekol Shehin. Going back to the Mishnah, that any of these aforementioned Tumas need to carry Zoiv, need only a minute amount to be Metame, the person who discharges them. Omar Shmuel, no. Zov Tzorech Yechasimas Piyama. You need to have enough Ziva to block up the opening of the Aver. It is not enough to have a Mashu. You need to have a Shir Chasimas Piyama. Shenema Oyechtim Besoroi Mizoivai. If the Zoiv actually blocked, clogged up the Basar. In fact, the Gemara, the Mishnah says otherwise. Vanan Tanan, we've learned in the Mishnah Matamim B'choshen. Even a minute amount. And for the Gemara, who the Omer K'Rav Nosson, Shmuel is following the Shita of Rav Nosson, who maintains that a Mashu is not sufficient, and you need more than that, you need a shear of blocking up the opening of the Amma. The son of Nasanai, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Zav Tzarech Kechasima Aspia Amo, V'loy Hoy Deloy, and the Chachamim did not agree with that, and that is the Shita of the Chachamim in the Mishnah, that even a Mashu of Zav is sufficient to be Matami. My time with Rabbi Shmuel. Now the Gemara is going to discuss the reasoning behind these two Shitas. What is the reason for Rabbi Shmuel's Halacha? The pasuk we just mentioned, that you need the zayv to actually clog up the aver, and that is the shear required to be matame. Rabbanon, what did the Rabbanon do with that pasuk of a hichtim? If they say that is enough to have a mashu, so what is hichtim coming to teach us? Hahu mi boilet is coming to teach us lach matame ve'enoi matame yavish, that ziva will only be matame if it is moist. That is a lashon of hichtim. It is running. It is something which can clog up. It is moist, and only then does it carry with it tumas ziva. Rabbi Shmuel, has Rabbi Shmuel know this halacha? Ahu, this halacha will be derived from the word mirar nafka. The pasuk says, "Zoyis tia tumasay bezoyve rar." It runs. It is moist. It is liquid, and therefore only if it's lach and not yavish. V'rabbanan, what did Rabbanan do with that pasuk? Ahu l'minyano da'asa. That is coming to teach us the amount of times that a zav is required to see ziva for him to become tummy. A little introduction is in place here. A zav who sees twice is tummy and a very stringent tuma of mishka v'moshe, of anything that he sits on or lies on becomes tummy. However, he is not required to bring a korban until he sees three consecutive days. Three times is metame the zav, to the point that he needs to bring a korban. Now, even if he sees it three times in one day, it doesn't need to be spread out in according to the sequence of days. Three times of Ria by Yazav will be metameh him to the point that he needs to bring a korban. So the pasuk of Rar is teaching us the amount of times that he is needed to be a Zav. How is that? The pasuk says, I'm quoting from the pasuk, V'zoyis tiyo tumasa b'zoyvay. Once, b'zoyvay is implying one Ria. Rar b'saray, meaning he had another Ria. Es zoyvay, he had a third Ria. So the pasuk is teaching us that there needs to be three Rias to be matamehim on the highest level of Ziva. Let's see the Gemara inside again. Rabbanan ahu l'minyana da'asa. We need that word Rar to teach us the counting. Zoyvay chada, zoyvay is the first time, rar b'saray is implying a second riyah, and zoyvay, the third and final time, is for the third riyah of the zav, which is the highest level of tuma. Limed al zav al sholesh riyahs, a zav who had three riyahs, shechayah b'karban, needs to bring a karban. Now there's another part of the pasuk, which says, I hechtim b'saray mizoyvay tumasahi. This teaches us the lower level of zav. If a zav sees twice, he will be a partial zav. He gets the tumah, but without the korban. Zok the Gemara v'ayitah, yehechtim b'sorei mizoyvay tamei, miksas zoyvay tamei. So a hechtim b'sorei mizoyvay teaches us that he's off. He's only a partial zav. He only sees twice, two out of three. He is nevertheless tamei. Limed al zav v'ashtei riyos. It comes to teach us that a zav who sees two eyes, shemetame mishkav v'moshav, he's metame something which he sits or lies on. And Mishkav is something which he lies on, Moshav is something which he sits on, and that is a full-fledged Zav, except that he doesn't need to bring a Karvan. Rabbi Shmuel Minyanim Anali. Rabbi Shmuel uses the word of Hechtim to teach us the Shir, as mentioned earlier. Where does he know this Halacha of 2 and 3? Nafkale, he learns it from a different Pasuk, Medrab Simoy, the Tanya Rabbi Simoy Omer. There are actually two Pasukim. There's the aforementioned Pasuk, and then there's an additional Pasuk which goes as follows. Ish ish ki ye Zav, that pasuk mentions the words ziva twice, and that is the pasuk for a zav that sees twice. The aforementioned pasuk, which mentions the word ziva three times, comes to teach us the zav bal gimariyos. Again, let's see inside. The Tanya of Simoy Oimer, mona kosov shtayim, the Torah counts twice, the kari tame, and considers him tame. That is the latter pasuk, which only has the word ziva twice. Shalosh, there is another pasuk which contains ziva three times. The Bekarei Tamei Torah constitutes that to be Tuma Ziva, HaKetzad, Shtayim LaTuma, V'Shalosh LaKarban. How do we reconcile both pasukim? Is it two or is it three? The answer is two will give him Tuma. Three, however, will add an obligation to bring a Karban. Ferti Gemara, Ulaman the Nafkale Mi Tavayu Mizois Tia Tomase Bezoivai. According to the Chachamim, who derive both types of Zav from the longer Pasuk, the Zav Bal Shtei Riyos and the Zav Bal Gimel Riyos are both learned from the same Pasuk. So what are they going to do with the short Pasuk of Rav Simoi? Ish ish ki yi zav mipsara yimai overlay. What do they do with that pasuk? What do they use it for? Mibayle, they need it. Achet yeitzi mipsara. It's coming to teach you. Ki yi zav mipsara, that the ziva needs to leave the guf to be metamehim. Zoivai tamei lamahi. The latter pasuk, the pasuk which says, Zoivai tamei. What is that coming to teach us? Limei dala zoiv shu tamei. That the actual zoiv, the zera itself, the zoiv, is actually tamei. Meaning, by coming into contact with the ziva, that itself will transmit tuma onto the negeya. So in conclusion, we have two psukim in the parasha of ziva. One pasuk mentions the word zoiv twice, and one pasuk mentions the zoiv three times. So according to Rishmol, the short pasuk is referring to azav bal shtei riyos, and the longer pasuk is referring to azav bal shalosh riyos. According to the Rabbanon, both types of Zav are contained in the longer Pasuk, and we have an extra Pasuk to teach us that the Tumah needs to leave the Guf, and that the Tumah will be Metameh upon contact. Both the Chachamim and Rabbi Shmuel maintain that in order for Ziva to be Metameh, it needs to be Lach. The question is just where we're learning it from. According to the Rabbanon, we learn it from the Pasuk of Hechtim Psarei, which teaches us that it needs to be something which can block, which is moist. According to Rabbi Shmuel, we learned that from the pasuk and the word rur, that needs to be a liquid, have a liquid property in order to be metame. And the only machlekes between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Shmuel is whether the shear of zoiv is a mashu, according to the Rabbanon, and according to Rabbi Shmuel, the shear is an amount which can block the Amma, and he derives that from the pasuk of Hechsim Psarei Mi Zoivai. So in conclusion, we have a machlekes going between Rishmol and Chachamim. What is the shear of Keri or of Ziva that is Matame person? According to Rabbanon, it is a Mashu, as mentioned in the Mishnah. According to Rishmol, you need a certain amount, enough which can block the opening of the Amma. Zog Tegma Vayta, Omer B'chaniloi Mishnah Rabbi Lezer Reb Shimon. Shichva zera l'roya, the person discharges zera b'mashu. He's following the sheet of the Rabbanon. L'noigeya, however, by coming into contact with the zera, what is the shear to be metame a person? Bika adasha, the size of adasha, which is a lentil. The Mishnah says that these things are metame even with a mashu. My love, l'noigeya, we're not speaking about even by coming into contact with them. Loi l'roya, the Mishnah is speaking about roya, seeing them, discharging them. Over there, there's a din of mashu. He is talking about coming into contact. Coming into contact with a davar tummy requires a shear. And since we're going to derive that from the halacha of coming into contact with a zera is derived from the halacha of tumas sheretz, therefore, a certain minimal shear is required similar to the shear of sheretz, which is a kadasha. So, Dr. Gemara, Toshma, come in here. There is a chumra, there is a stringency that shichva zera has over tumas sheretz, and the same in the reverse. Sheretz carries with it a chumra over shichva zera. What is that? Chayme b'sheretz. The chumra of sheretz is the following: sheretz ein chaluka tumasei. There is no distinction by a sheretz within different stages and different categories. We'll see soon, the Gemara will explain what that means. Masha'en came with Shechva Zera. But Shechva Zera, however, we find Chiluk, we find distinctions. That is the first part of the Brice. Chayma b'Shechva Zera, what is the Chumra that Shechva Zera has over Sheretz? Shechva Zera metame b'chol shu. Shechva Zera is metame, even with a minute amount. Masha'en came with Sheretz. For Sheretz to be metame, you need to have a Shir Kadasha. So we find the Chumra that Shechva Zera has over Sheretz. That is the words, those are the words of the Braisa. So Gemara is going to explore. My love, well, we just said that Shechva Zera is Metame B'chol Shu, are we not speaking about L'Nei Geya? since the Bryce is discussing Tumas Maga, a Sheretz is only about Tama Maga. So evidently that is the context of the Bryce. So when the Bryce goes and says that a Sheretz has a Shear and Zera does not have a Shear, evidently we're speaking about which Tuma? Tumas Maga of Zera. And the Bryce states very clearly that there's a Shear of Adasha. So that doesn't fit well with the memory, with the halacha of Reb Chaniloi. So the Gemara Loi, we're not talking about coming into contact. We're talking about Tumas Roye. We're talking about discharging, seeing the Zera. In that case, there's no discussion. Of course, even a Mashu is sufficient. For the Gemara, how does that fit with the words of the Braisa? V'hadumi the Sheretz Ketani. Here, look, the Braisa is coming to compare the Tumah of Sheretz to the Tumah of Shechvas Zera. And the Braisa is saying that Sheretz has a leniency that we require a shear of Adasha. That's something that Shechvas Zera does not have. So evidently, the discussion is regarding Tumas Maga. And the Braisa says that in order for Zera to be metame be maga, a mashu is enough, and you don't need a shir kadasha. Again inside, v'hadumi the sheretz ketani, ma sheretz benegia, ashich v'zera benegia. So that won't fit well with the memra of Rabbi Chaniloi. Amar v'ada barav, shum sheretz ketani, v'shum shich v'zera ketani. It's true, we're not discussing a specific case in the Bryce. The Bryce is merely comparing the categories. In the category of sheretz, we find a din of a shear of adasha. And in the category of zera, however, we find that it has the kayach, the potential to be matami, even with a mashu. So true. Strictly regarding maga, they're both equated. Shechva zera needs adasha, and so too does sheretz. However, in the overall category of shechva zera, we do find a specific halacha, which does not require more than a mashu. So in that case, Zera has a stringency over Sheretz. So it does make sense to compare the two things, because we're going and equating the categories. In Sheretz, we don't find this chumra of a mashu that we find by Zera. So this does fit well with Rav Chaniloi. True that in order to be metami b'maga, Zera is required to be a shear of kadasha. But the Braisa, when the Braisa says that a Zera has a din of a mashu, that is referring to Tumas Re'ia of Zera. For the Gemara, Nukash, Avanan Tanan, we've learned in the Mishnah, Ivarim Ein Lahem Shir. How could you say, V'sheretz Lahem Tam V'mashu? How could you say a Sheretz is not Ben Tam even with a mashu? Avanan Tanan, we've learned in the Mishnah, Ivarim Ein Lahem Shir. When there's a limb, an aver of a Dover Tome, even if it's a small, teeny amount, regardless of its size, it is matami. For instance, pachas mikazayis b'sarameis. You have a piece of a dead person that is less than a shir kazayis. Or pachas mikazayis b'sar nevela. Or pachas mikadoshim and asheretz. So we find that even a sheretz will be matame with a small amount. So how does that fit with the braisa which stated that a sheretz needs to have a shir kadosha? And for the gemara, shani aver, a limb is different. It is so significant that the significance is equated with a shear. It is so chashiv that it doesn't need a shear. True, ordinarily, you need a shear. You need a basar meis needs to be a kazai. Same thing with a nevela, same thing with a sheretz, you need a dasha. Except where it's an aver, it's a limb on its own, then it has a chashivas of a shear. Again, inside, shani aver, aver is different. The kulei, being that you have a complete aver, v'makim adasha koi, it is in the place of a shear adasha. What is the raya? The ilu chasa purta. For instance, let's say the aver is missing a little bit. Mika matamya? Will it then be matamya? Of course not. So you see from there that the kayach of aver, the power of an aver, is only because it is whole. That gives it significance to compensate for the lack of shear. Now the Gemara is going to go back and interpret the next part of the Braisa that we mentioned earlier. So the Gemara shechva zera de chaluka tumase mai. The Gemara, the Midrash said that Sheretz has no distinctions. Shechva Zera does have distinctions. What do we find? What are we talking about? What kind of distinctions are we speaking about? Mai, ilema ben Yisrael de Nachrim, that in Zera we find a chiluk, we find differentiation between the Zera of Yisrael, which is Matame. However, the Zera of a Goy is not Matame. So that's unique to Zera. That is something we don't find by Sheretz. Right, the Gemara, we don't find chilukim by Sheretz? Hachinami here to Ika, Ach Bar Deyam, a mouse of the yam, of the ocean, v'achvar the yabasha. Only the achvar, the mouse of the yabasha, is metame. So we found a chilik in sheretz between one type of sheretz and another type of sheretz. So it is similar to zera. We find distinctions and we find chilukim. Ela ben katan the gadol. The halacha that the Braisa mentioned, that in zera we find differences, that is an age difference. We're referring to a difference between age groups, that a katan, Rashi says a katan less than 9 years and a day, his zera is not matami, doesn't possess any tumah, as does the zera of a gadol. However, by shrotzim, we don't find the difference of age group. A sheretz is matame, even if he's 1 day old, regardless of his age. So that explains the braisa in its totality. The braisa had said there's a chumra of zera over sheretz, because in Zera there is Tumas Kolshu, so either it's referring to Tumas Re'iyah or even Tumas Maga, depending which Shita you're following. According to Rabbi Chanan Eloi, the Brayis is only referring to Tumas Re'iyah, because Tumas Maga does require Shirah Kadasha, and Sheretz certainly requires a Shirah Kadasha, so that is a stringency over Sheretz. The next part of the Brayis, actually, which was the initial opening statement of the Braisa, that there's a difference between Zera and Sheretz, that in Zera we find differences of age groups, meaning that a Zera of a Katan is not Matame as is the Zera of a Gadol. However, by Shrotzim we don't find that Chiluk, and that gives us a stringency that Zera has over, Sheretz has over Zera. So we have a Chiluk, we have a stringency of Zera over Sheretz, which is the Tumah Mashu, and in the reverse as well, there's a Chumrah to Sheretz over Zera, that in Sheretz it is Tumah regardless of its age. Amar Rav Papa, Kitanoi, the halacha of Rav Chanan Eloi, that Tumas Maga of Zera requires a Shir Kadosha, it would seem to be that it's Machlekes Tanoim. How is that? It says in the Braisa, Minayin L'Rabis Negei Abishich V'Zera. How do we know that a person who comes into contact with Zera is Tame? Tamad Loima Oyish. It's an extra pasuk to be marba even a Nagia of Zera. Now, twice we have the Ribuy of Oyish. We have it in the Parsha of Zera. In the pasuk speaking about Zera, there is an extra word Oyish, which can perhaps be marba coming into contact with the Zera. And as well in the Parsha of Sheretz, Nagia B'Sheretz, the Torah uses the words Oyish, and perhaps that is coming to be marba negeya bezera as well. So the question is, which one are we referring to? It seems to be, according to Rav Papa, that the ribuy will be coming from the parsha, from the pasuk of Sheretz. So now the question is as follows: when we learn, we derive zera, the tumah of negeya bezera, from the halacha of negeya b'sheretz. Just as negeya b'sheretz is matami, so too negeya bezera. Now let's ask a question. Do we derive it completely from there? A, that it can be matame through negiyah. Number two, the shear as well will be similar to the shear of sheretz, which is kadasha. Or perhaps we say, well, we need to learn from there. We do. The fact that, the concept that there exists a tumas maga by negiyah bezera. However, regarding the shear, perhaps we'll come back home. We'll come back and take it back into the context of zera, which possesses the power to be matame b'kolshu. A person is roya zera, all he needs is a kolshu. So that will be dependent on a general machlekes, which we find many times in Shas. When we derive A from B, is it derived completely? Do we derive and continue to derive everything from the source? Or do we take what we need and come back home? Let's see inside. Upligi tanoi ba'alma. We have a general machlekes tanoim. The ikadamri, some say, dun mina, we derive it from there. Umina, we continue to derive it. So in our case, we will derive everything from Sheretz, A, the fact that it can be Matame, and in addition that there's a shear of Kadosha, just like Sheretz. Ikadamri, some say no. Do we know we derive something from a source? Vulgi Basro, we will come back to its original context. So therefore, in our case, we will come back to the context which is Zera, which carries with it a stringency of a Tumah B'mashu. So even though we're speaking about Tumas Maga, which you derive from Sheretz, however, regarding the shear, how much is required, a Mashu will be sufficient. Let's see inside. Lamanda amardun mino mino. According to the Shita, we derive and continue to derive. Ma sheretz benegia, just like sheretz is matami b'maga afshich vazera benegia umino, and therefore we continue to derive from there. Ma sheretz b'kadasha, you need a shir kadasha afshich vazera kadasha. So too by zera, you need a shir of a lentil. So that is one approach. The other Shita will hold. Ulamanda amardun mino. We study from there. We derive from there. Uki basrom. We come back to its original place. Which would mean that in this case we learn the concept of tumah from sheretz. However, regarding the shear that is required, for that we will go back home to the parsha of zera, which has in it a shear of mashu. Ma sheretz benegia, afshich hazera benegia. V'ugi ba'asra, we will place it back into its context. Ma shech hazera l'roya b'mashu. Just like we find by shech hazera, the halacha of roya b'mashu. Same thing, we'll equate the halacha of contacting the shech hazera, which will be dafka. So again, going back to the beginning of this lashtikal Gemara of Chaniloi was mechadish that negia zera requires a kadasha. Rava proposed it as machlekes tanoim. Since we are deriving from sheretz, the question is: do we derive just the concept? However, the shear will be a mashu, or we derive everything from there, and the shear as well needs to be similar to the shear of sheretz, which is kadasha. One more final piece of Gemara. Amalei Afuna Beder Rav Nasan Papa. No, I disagree with this. How do we know? How do you know that the ribui that we're including the halacha of negia bezera from the oy ish, which is quoted in the sugya and the parsha and the pasuk of sheretz, and thereby you built a whole subsequent binyan, a whole shtigl Torah to explain the machlekes tanaim, and you connected this to the general machlekes of Dumina, Dumasra, etc. How do we know that? Perhaps the derivation is from the Oyish, which is said in the Parsha of Zera, right here. In the Parsha of Zera, the Torah says the word Oyish, which is coming to your Marva, not just Roya, Zera, but even coming into contact with Zera, and therefore is not connected, is not related to any machlekes of Dumina, Vuki Basra, etc. Of course, the Pasuk, which is said by Zera, and includes contact, Negiya Bezera, is referring to the Shir Mashu, just like Riya Zera, plain and simple. How do you know to derive it from the word Ayish, which is mentioned in the Parsha of Sheretz? Dilma, perhaps, Ma'ayish Asher Teitzim Imenishach Vazera Kumar Bilei. We're deriving it from the word Ayish, which is said in the Pasuk of Zera. Udekulmi Alma, everybody will hold, Dun Mina Umina. According to everybody in this case, we will derive it completely from Zera, from the halacha of Zera, which means only a mashu. So which way do we go? Is it from Ayish of Sheretz, or is it from Ayish of Zera? The nafkamina is, if we're deriving from Sheretz, perhaps there is a room for machlekes tanaim on the shir, whether we equate it completely to Sheretz, which is kadash, or we bring it back home and we apply the halacha of mashu, or do we derive it from the word ayish that is mentioned in the parsha of Zera, and simply put, it has the same halacha of Riya Zera, which is a mashu. So Shailinu Latanoi, they asked the Amoraim who would study who were proficient with the brises. Ika the Tanik Rapapa, some had learned like Rav Papa, because the Tanik Rav Huna Rav Beder Rav Nosson, some had taken on the approach of Rav Huna Rav Beder Rav Nosson, and there is no machlekes in this case, since we are deriving it locally from the parsha of Zera, and therefore certainly the shir is the same as Re'ia, which is a mashu, and is unrelated to the general machlekes of Dun Mina V'ilke Basra, or Dun Mina Mina, since it is halacha, which is local, strictly by Zerah.